This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Gay conversion therapy is still happening in Australia. Currently, the Victorian government has launched an inquiry into this so-called therapy with hopes to bring an end to the practice. Queensland's health minister has said he's seeking to determine if more power can be given to Queensland's health ombudsman in a bid to crack down on the therapy. And WA's health minister has restated his opposition to gay cure therapy, saying people who come across professionals promoting counselling therapies should report them. But what does gay conversion therapy actually mean? It may not be as overt as you think it is. Now in The Informer, we'll hear from Chris and Robert as they share their past experiences trying to rid themselves of their homosexuality through this so-called therapy.
My experience with gay conversion ideology started when I was really, really young, growing up in church. And I was hearing all sorts of things about gay people, that they were abominations, that they are sick, that they are sinful, that they'd made choices to be gay, even that they were demon-possessed. And I guess, even though I was a child, when I heard those things in church, and sometimes they were, you know, it was overt messaging, sometimes it was really subtle, but when I heard those things, I really took them to be about me. Particularly when I was about 10, I realized that I might be gay when I was about 10 or 11. And so those things that I'd heard in church and that messaging around homosexuality being something that's wrong with you became part of my identity, and it became part of how I saw myself. And so I saw myself as sick. I saw myself as perverted and as an abomination, as someone who just was not okay being who they are.
You know, I came out only about 4 and a bit years ago, and I'm in my mid-50s now. So I've hidden my sexuality for most of my life, even though I knew about it. 10 years ago, I was married, and the horror, being a Christian, and I was evangelical fundamentalist Christian, so at one point I was state director for the Australian Christian Lobby. For 5 years, I was president of the Christian school in Mombulk, and it was a horror to think that I was gay, because the Christian community is so against gay people. So I thought, well, I need to do something about this. I need to fix it. So I sought out help from my GP and my counsellor at the time, because I was having therapy for depression, because I was severely depressed. And he said, well, you know, you're gay. We don't fix that. That's normal. I wouldn't listen. I was so convinced that, you know, there must be something in my past that had caused me to be like that. I bought into the idea that it was my mum or my dad that had caused me to be like this. I then went to the church and I spoke to one of the pastors at City Life at the time, where I was going, in Monturna. And he said, oh, yes, we can help you with that.
You know, even when I was 11, I thought that I may have demons in me. And so when I came out at 16 and I spoke to my pastor about my concerns and my worries about being gay, and he suggested that there was a way that I could be healed from it, I jumped at it because I was desperate. I was really scared. I spent so many years as a kid really frightened to death of hell. I really believed that that was where I was going, and it was scary.
For about 6 months, I'd go once or twice a week, and I would have this gay conversion therapy where they tried to, it was very painful. Every night I would go, I would burst into tears at some point, you know, more than once sometimes. I had to do all sorts of things, like I had to wear an elastic band and flick it every time I had sexual thoughts, which of course is every night. And if I'd get an erection at night and have sexual thoughts, I had to have a cold shower, which I did. Hands up, I did it all, because I thought that's what you had to do, because I didn't know any better.
When my pastor at the time told me that God could heal me and that there was organisations out there that helped people to change, I was really excited about it. I was really relieved because up until then, I was really worried that I was always going to be that way and that it was going to be something that would ruin my life. So it was a 9-month course, and there were so many different courses available at that time, and they all had different ways of running. The one that I went to was a 9-month course. We'd meet every week, and it ran a lot like Alcoholics Anonymous, like that style of support group, I suppose you'd call it. We purchased these really thick textbooks. It was a manual to the course that was full of, you know, it talked about sort of pseudo-psychological reasons for being gay and talked about how broken sexuality could be healed. So we would sit in a sermon about the chapter that we'd read that week. We'd have homework to do. We'd have to answer questions in the book. We'd have a time of worship. And then we'd all split off into small groups. And they'd split us into boy and girl groups. And we would confess our sins to each other. And we would talk about the struggles that we'd had that week with our sexuality. And then we would be anointed with oil. So it was really a lot like a support group AA style of ministry. I think the damage that came from it was that it confirmed and really hammered home all of that messaging from when I was a kid, that I'm broken, that I'm not okay the way I am, that who I am is not okay with God, that homosexuality is an abomination, all of that stuff really got hammered home. And I, when I left, of course, I was still gay. I was probably gayer than when I started. But, yeah, when I left, I was, I mean, not only disappointed because I'd really sort of been sold this idea that it was the answer, and here I was still gay. I was even more convinced that I was broken.
After I'd done the gay conversion therapy, I went on this manliness course, and there was this most gorgeous, and I won't describe him in detail in case he listens to this by any chance, because I don't want him to know that I fell in love with him. And he never knew, because he was just the most gorgeous looking person. He got the most wonderful personality. He just pressed all my buttons at once, and I thought, shit, I can't do this. I can't, you know, I'm still gay.
Basically, after that, I really desperately went about trying anything and everything that I could possibly find to try and change. So I went to exorcisms, I was reading books, I was going to other ex-gay ministries, different prayer nights and conferences and all sorts of things. So really desperately trying anything that I could to give it over to God and find some kind of healing. Obviously, none of it worked.
We've moved down to Narre Warren just recently, and I thought, well, time I ought to see if I could find a local church that was welcoming. So I've started to scan around and trying to find it. Of course, they all aren't. And one church in particular, I got very irritated with them because they wouldn't tell me what their position was. So I did some secret shopping, and they offered me gay conversion therapy there and then. So it's still going on, and it's still rife in the church. The attitude is that you choose to be gay, and that because you've made a choice, you can make an unchoice. You can choose not to be gay. But, of course, none of them would try and choose to be gay to prove the point.
The way that it was presented to me was as an ex-gay ministry. It was an answer to a problem. You know, it's funny, you know, the church taught me that I was broken, and then, you know, lo and behold, the church has this way to fix it.
I don't think that the church will be won over by theological argument. I think the church will be won over by them seeing gay people and understanding that we are not a threat. And I think this is a culture clash that has come out about over the last 50 years since the gay community has become more visible. It was possible 50 years ago to say, well, there aren't any gay people because you never saw them.
It's not something that's openly talked about anymore. I mean, years ago, ex-gay ministries used to visit churches and do information evenings, but they don't do that now. It's very much underground now. I think probably public backlash and a change in public opinion around homosexuality and the way that we treat people based on their sexuality has changed a lot in the last 10, 15 years. And so I think most ministries that peddle this ideology that being gay is broken aren't able or aren't comfortable to really publicly say what their intentions are.
I want to thank Robert and Chris for sharing their stories with us tonight. My full interviews with both of them will be available to download tomorrow morning via the Joy website at joy.org.au/The Informer. If you come across any or hear about any organisations or individuals practising in conversion therapy, I encourage you to notify the Australian Health Practitioner Regulatory Agency at ahpra.gov.au. That's ahpra.gov.au. Or you can call them on 1300 419 495.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.